counselors were just singing that Jesus Christ is Savior to all, and He is Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. But my question to you tonight is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? I got a text right before the service here tonight from my wife, and she said, of course, she's 3 hours ahead of us here, but she said, I'm praying for you tonight, Andy, praying for the teenagers. My pastor prays for me particularly every Wednesday when I'm at camp because he knows that I'm going to be preaching salvation to teenagers, and that's what I'm going to be doing here tonight. I got another text and a phone call, a message left from my father during the skit time I was here. My dad, who is a preacher, he contacted me, said, I'm praying for you tonight. My point is simply this. There are a lot of people who you don't know who are praying for you tonight. There are people you do know who are praying for you tonight. I have listened to your counselors pray for you. I have listened to those who have brought you in praying for you. I want you to know that I have spent a lot of time in prayer for you tonight as well, because my heart is certainly broken because there are some young ladies and young men in here, you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ. And I don't understand why. He is the Savior. He offers a new life. He offers you a new beginning. He offers you forgiveness of sin. And yet up to this point in your life, you have resisted Him. You are still in the grip of the evil one, as the Scripture would put it. But I rejoice that tonight, that grip in some of your lives is going to be broken. I'm convinced of that. For Jesus Christ will have the honor. He will have the preeminence. And I am praying that He would break through the power of the Holy Spirit to get a hold of your attention and to get a hold of your heart. This is the great Word of God that we must hear tonight. If you have a Bible, I would like you to take it and go to John chapter 14, please. In just a minute, I'm going to read the Scripture to you, but before I do, I would like to pray, and then I want to speak a little bit, and then we'll look at the Word of God. John 14 is where we'll be tonight. Father, I bow before You in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is obvious tonight that there is work being done against the gospel. We have already had issues with the audio. Those things happen, but on all the nights for that to happen, this night, easily to distract us. And I really believe, Lord, that there are forces at work to try to get a hold of these young people's hearts to distract them away from the truth as it is in Jesus. They are currently, some of them are currently still in the grip of the evil one. They are still a part of the old humanity. They are still lost in their sin. But You have much people here. And I am convinced that they belong to You, and they don't belong to Satan. And I pray that tonight You would break through into their heart, into their mind. They have been deceived. They have been lied to. But tonight may they see the truth. I cannot convince them. Only You, Holy Spirit, can do that. So Holy Father, please send the Spirit for the sake of the Son. Teach us Your Word tonight. Oh God, come down. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to begin by showing you a picture. If I can get that picture up there. How many of you ever seen this bumper sticker, this sticker before, the Coexist? Many of you have seen it, all right? Those of you who may not have seen it, or those of you who have seen it may not know what it is. It is a powerful sticker. You often see it on cars, bumper stickers, but it powerfully communicates tolerance. As you can see, each letter of the word coexist is a symbol. It's particularly a religious symbol. And it powerfully says that let's embrace all religions as equal ways to God. Of course, the C is a crescent, which is representative of Islam, the Muslim faith. The O is a peace sign. That is more of a generic sign for peace and tolerance. An atheist can find themselves fitting in that particular place, or someone who says, I am just non-religious. They could fit in with this. The E is not actually a religious symbol. It's actually a mathematical equation. It stands for male is equal to female. Now, in one sense, I do agree with that because we are all created in the image of God. There is no importance more for one gender over another. But, of course, that's not what this particular E means. This, of course, has to deal with stated sexual orientation. Those who hold to the crazy understanding of gender fluidity could also fit in this letter. The X, of course, is the Star of David, representing Judaism. The I is a Wiccan symbol, which represents paganism. The S is the yin-yang, forces of good and evil in harmony. It's Taoism. It's more of the Eastern religions. And, of course, the final letter is the T, which is the cross that represents Christianity, whether it be the Catholic faith or the Orthodox faith or the Protestant, or might we even further define it as the evangelical Christianity. And, of course, the coexist movement says this: let's achieve peace through tolerance, through diversity, through love. Let's end this hateful, divided nation. Regardless of your creed, regardless of your race or ethnicity, regardless of your culture, regardless of your stated sexual orientation, regardless of your religion, let's all celebrate the beauty of all of our diversity and particularly of our diverse faiths. We're all finding our own way to God. You have no right to say that any other way is wrong. Let's all live in peace. Let's all live in love. Let's all live in harmony. Now, this is powerful because don't you want to live in a world that's full of peace? I do. Don't you want to live in a world full of tolerance? Boy, I sure do. A world full of love? Of course. Who doesn't? This is the desire of all humanity. But here's the question I want to ask you tonight. Can the follower of Jesus Christ coexist? Can Christianity coexist? Is Christianity just one of several faiths, or is it different? Well, this is a very important question for you to consider because there's a diversity of opinion on whether or not the follower of Jesus Christ can coexist. There's a lot of people that say that there's a lot of confusion amongst Christians. Therefore, there's a lot of confusion about amongst non-Christians as well, whether or not we could all coexist in this fashion. But you know what? Ultimately, young man or young lady, I'm not too much concerned about what your opinion is about the coexist movement, nor should you be too interested in my opinion, because what I am interested in is what the founder of Christianity said about the coexist movement long before it ever happened. Of course, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could put it this way, if Jesus had a car in 2019, would he have a coexist bumper sticker? Some people say yes, he would. Other people would say no, he wouldn't. Well, let's find out what he says about it. What I want to take you to is one verse, and that's all we're going to look at here tonight. One verse, but before I show it to you, I must caution you. The verse I'm going to show you is not my words. It is actually from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before I show it to you, you must understand something. It is explosive. In fact, it's scandalous, what I'm about to tell you. I'm not sure that you're necessarily even ready for it. For the United States of America in the 21st century, what I'm about to show you is downright intolerant. It is the most controversial statement that Jesus ever uttered. All right, you have been warned. It's John 14 and verse 6. I'm going to keep it up here the entire night so you can see where I'm coming from. Jesus said unto him, the him is one of his disciples named Thomas, look at it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Young lady, this is Jesus' unmistakable claim to be the only avenue, the only way to God. Young man, in this one statement, Jesus does not give room for an alternate road to God. He does not give an alternate route. He does not make room for an alternate religion. According to Jesus Christ, he says, I am the only person to get you to God, to get you to heaven. Only Jesus gets an individual to God. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ must love people from all faiths. And I would say we must love people from all non-faiths as well. And in that sense, we actually can and we should coexist. By that, I mean loving people who have not yet come to faith in Christ. Listening to them, identifying with the desires of their heart. They want peace just like we do. They want love and tolerance just like we do. So we must listen to them. We must love on them. Of course we can, and that in that sense we can and should coexist, but of course that's not what the coexist movement is all about. They are so much more than just about love and peace and tolerance. Their message is clear. You have no right to say anybody else is wrong, but I have the right to say you are wrong if you disagree with me. And in that sense, the Christian cannot coexist because that is a direct attack on our Lord and Savior. And there must come a point, Christian, that you must love Jesus Christ more than you love the applause and approval of other people. And if Jesus Christ said he is the only way to God, then we must, without apology, say the same thing. So let me state it for the record. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the only way to God. And I will state that even if I am declared intolerant or ignorant. Now, I don't know you, I don't know your full story, your background. Maybe you are offended tonight by what you consider to be a hateful, intolerant statement. And if so, that's understandable. This is an offensive statement. It's very offensive. It is quite intolerant, if you want to put it that way. But please don't turn Jesus off just yet. Even secular historians tell us that Jesus is the most influential person in history. Would you at least let him say what he said and then decide whether or not you were going to believe him? It is my burden tonight to present a case that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to God. But I want you to know this, no matter how well or poorly I may present arguments to you, I cannot convince you of this truth. Only the Holy Spirit of God can, and I am convinced he's going to convince some young people tonight. I am convinced he's going to open up some eyes to understand and to believe in Jesus Christ alone. I am convinced of this, for I have been praying for it, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus will have the preeminence in your life. So I'm ready to go. How about you? This is what we're going to look at tonight. I'm going to walk through this verse, John 14, 6. I'm going to do my best to help you understand exactly what he says. Now, this is a controversial statement. I know that. I get that. But we're going to see, number one, that this controversial statement of the Lord Jesus is actually very clear. You cannot misunderstand what he's saying. And don't worry, we're going to go through each line of this. Then we are going to see that though it's a controversial statement, it wasn't meant to be a controversial statement. It was actually meant to be a comforting statement. Because we're going to see that this was actually stated to those who have already received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he is saying, you can relax, you can rejoice, you have found the only way to God. It's a comforting statement. So it's clear, it's also comforting, but then we're going to end with this idea that it is also a compelling statement. If it is true, as I will seek to prove tonight, if it is true that Jesus is the only way to God, then you must do something with him and you must find him without delay tonight. Okay? So there you go. If you want three words, it's clear, comforting, and compelling. Let's see how far we can go tonight. All right. By the way, when I get done with the first point, I will be nearly done. So it's going to take us a while to get to the first point. So when I get to point number two, don't go, ay, 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 when is this guy ever going to be done? I will almost be done at that point. So you're welcome. Okay, here we go. This statement of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, is clear. You cannot misunderstand what he is saying. Now, this statement was actually made at the Last Supper, just hours before the crucifixion of Jesus. And Jesus did not want his disciples confused. So he says, gentlemen, I am leaving you, but you can't follow me now. But that's okay, don't worry. You know where I am going, and you know the way to get there. But one of his disciples, Thomas, in verse number 5, the previous verse, he is confused. And he says, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how can we know how to get there? And he says in verse number 6, be no more confused. Let me be abundantly clear. I am going to the Father in heaven. You will follow me later. You will join us in heaven later because I am the way to God. That's that first statement here, and I have it bolded because I want you to see each particular statement he is saying. He begins with this phrase, I am the way to the Father. The way to the Father. How many of you have ever heard this expression? There's more than one way to skin a cat. Have you heard that expression? Is that true? I don't know. Anyway, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, that's pretty much true about everything in this world. There's more than one way to get to the number 4. There's more than one way to log on. There's more than one way to drive. There's more than one way to get to Los Angeles. There's more than one way to read. There's more than one way to play a game. Isn't this the greatness about Yankee ingenuity, the United States of America? We are the ultimate pragmatists, you know? You figured out a way. Well, I'm going to figure out a way to do it better and quicker because there's always another way to get it done. There's more than one way to die even. That's what makes the statement of Jesus so starkly clear. He does not say, I am one of many ways to God. He says, I am the way. He gives no room for any other way of access to God. According to Jesus, there is only one way to God, and it is Him. Now, I have in my wallet a very special card. It is a key card. You know what a key card is, right? This card is a key that gets me into the church building of where I live, the church I'm a member of back in Indianapolis. Several years ago, we went away from the lock and we went to a computerized locked door. So when I go to the church property, if I were to go right now, everyone is gone. It's almost midnight back home where I live. All right, if I were to go there tonight and I wanted to get into the building, all I'd have to do is go up to that little box right next to the car, right next to the door, and I whip out my key card and I place this key card right next to the door, right next to that box. Now, there is an access code in this little card. It's a very powerful access code, and it is read by that computer program, and it reads the access code, and it doesn't make a noise, but doo-doo-doo, you know, it connects and unlocks the door, and I have freedom to go in. That makes sense. But you know, that's not the only card I have in my wallet. I also have a bank card. This has a very powerful access code in it. Well, it has the potential of a very powerful access code on this, right? My bank card. Now, it has an access code, but it's tied to my bank account, such as it is, at the bank. What if I wanted to get into the church building and I get there and I go to that little box and I pull out my bank card and I push it up next to the box? Is it going to accept it? No. But it's got an access card. It's got an access code. Yes, but it is a wrong access code to get inside the building. That's okay. I have another card in here. Let's do this one. The Indianapolis Public Library. This one card gives me access to the accumulated wisdom of humanity. Anything I want to find, I can find in the library. Powerful little card. I want to get into the church building. I put it up next to that box. But it's got an access code, right? But it's a faulty access code. It's a great one, but it won't get me in. I got another one. Starbucks card. Yes. This one actually says California on it. I've had this one for a while. From the great state of California. You should visit that state sometime. It's a wonderful state. This card has a wonderful access code on it. This gives me some yummy stuff. But if I go to that keypad, it's not going to let me into the church building. It's got an access code, but it is the faulty access code. Faulty access codes will always be denied. I said all that to get to this point. I saw a study done by Pew Research just a couple of years ago. And they found that in the United States of America, 72% of Americans believe that there is a heaven. Maybe you're in that number. 72% of Americans believe there's a heaven. But of that 72% who believe there's a heaven, 85% of those think that they're going. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. And I hope you think that I hope you believe there's a heaven, and I hope that you believe that you are going to heaven. But anybody who thinks they're going to heaven is trusting something to get them in. And I know a lot of people, and maybe this is you, they're thinking, well, of course I'm going to go to heaven, and they whip out the access cards of religion. I'm a religious person. I go to a Christian camp. I go to a Christian church. I have looked at other religions. I'm a searcher. I'm a searcher for truth. I am a religious person. I want to get in heaven. Now, that's a great card. It's a great access, but it ain't Jesus. So it's a faulty access code. You're not getting in. Well, that's okay. I've been baptized. I've taken the Lord's table. I've done religious things. Good. It's not Jesus. You're not getting into heaven. Well, that's okay. I have integrity. I mean, one of these days, I just the way I view it is that when I get to heaven, somehow there's going to be like this giant scale, and all the good I do on one side and all the bad I've done on the other side. And as long as the good works are just a little bit more than all the bad I've done, woo, I'll get to go up. I don't have to go down. It may be a great access card, a wonderful access code, but it is a faulty access code because it is not Jesus. Therefore, you are not getting into heaven. I am the way, the Lord Jesus said. No matter what you come up with, church membership, sacraments, baptism, good works, you go on and on. God will not accept you unless you come to him through Jesus. Now, it could be this evening that there is someone you consider yourself an atheist. You do not believe there is a God. And you can say, I got you here, Andy. I don't believe there is a heaven. I don't believe there is a God. So I just dismantled your argument. Oh, you are so cute. Okay. I hope you understand, Mr. or Miss Atheist, that you are no different from a religious person. Don't you say that dirty word to me. What are you talking about? I am not a religious person. Oh, no, no, no. You are exactly like a religious person. You see, you take a religious person, when they get to the end of their life, they have determined what is going to work for them that they will be okay. They have determined their own way to be okay at the end. Religious stuff. Don't you see you're the very same way? When you come to the end of your life, you've determined what's going to make you okay. No God for you is okay for you. You are no different from a religious person. They determine what works for them. You've determined what works for you. You are no different whatsoever. But their way nor your way is the way to be okay at the end of life. Jesus said, I am the access to God. Ephesians 2:18, through Christ we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Romans 5, verse 2, by our Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. Jesus is the access to peace. Jesus is the access to grace. Jesus is the access code to heaven, to God. Jesus is the way in. And guess what? You will never be denied entry if you go through Jesus. Can I tell you, I have taken my key card, the actual right key card, and I've gone up to that box right next to the door in my church, and it has denied it. You know why? Because computers are finicky sometimes. But Jesus Christ will never deny anyone. God will never deny anyone into His presence, into His glory, into His heaven when they come through Jesus Christ. You say, now I know, Andy, that's what you say, and I know that's what the Jesus here says, but why should I believe it? Ah, great question, because of the second statement. He said, I'm the truth. This is why you can believe I'm the only way to God. I am the truth of the Father. John 1:14, Jesus is called the Word. The Word was made flesh. He dwelt among us. We saw Him. He was full of grace, and Jesus was full of truth. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 18:37, every person who is of the truth hears my voice. In other words, He is saying this, just as a sheep recognizes the voice of its shepherd, so those who have received the truth recognize my voice, because I am the truth. Jesus does not lie to you. He cannot lie to you. Jesus tells you the truth about the truth. He deals in truth, for He is the truth. Now, I read a statement not too long ago. You've read the very same statement. But so-and-so, she was just acting and holding on to, here's the phrase, her truth. Have you heard this phrase? Ah, her truth, His truth, your truth, my truth. We all have our truth. Well, good for us. Yay, yay, yay. But if your truth does not match up with the truth, then whatever your truth is not truth. It is only the opposite, which is a lie. And as we even saw in the senior high this morning, Satan is the one behind lies. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. This is John 8:44. He does not abide in the truth. There is no truth in him, Satan. He is a liar and the father of it. Let me state it for the record. Jesus is the truth. Satan is the lie. So any statement, religious or otherwise, that is not lining up with what Jesus says is truth, you can mark it down. It is a lie from hell. And there is a phrase, there is a quote unquote truth that's going around today. It's been going around for some time, and that is this: we are all finding our own way to God. There are many ways for us to be okay. There are many ways for us to maybe get to heaven. There are many ways for us to get to God. But you know, that flies in the very face of what the truth said, so therefore it is a satanic lie. You say, well, Andy, that's true for you. That's your truth. But many roads to God. That sounds right to me. That's my truth. Well, I'm happy for you, but it doesn't work that way. Just because a person says a lie is true does not make a lie true. You can say purple is green all day long, but it doesn't make purple green. And by the way, when someone comes along and says, you are believing a lie and it's going to destroy you, that does not make that person guilty of hate speech. Now, let me see if I can illustrate this. Is it hate speech for a father to tell his teenage daughter that the cute boy she met online is a 46-year-old man? Is that hate speech? Now, she can say it is. She can get angry. She can get hateful. She can get mad. She can yell at dad. She can slam the door. She can say, you don't understand. Because this lie. It's a cute lie. It's an adorable lie. It's a lie she so wants to be true. But it's a lie that will destroy her life. And that father risks her anger, her hatred, her yelling, because he loves her and doesn't want to see her destroyed. So when I come along here tonight and I say, young man, young lady, if you are trusting anything but Jesus to get you to heaven, to make you right with God, you are trusting a lie that will damn you to hell, that will destroy you. It doesn't make me guilty of hate speech. I am desperately trying to show you that you have been deceived because you have been fed a lie that does not match up with the truth. For the truth said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And I know you can say, Andy, how arrogant, how hateful, how intolerant. It's because of people like you that I'm not a Christian. It's because of people like you why we have such hatred and bigotry and discrimination. Doesn't your God say to love? Oh, yes. My God does say to love. And I have been guilty of not loving as my Lord loves. Please be patient with me on that. But my God, who told me to love, also said, I am the only truth out there. I am the only way that you can get to God. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I am the only way to God. I am the only truth of God. And as you notice, the third statement, I am the only life of God. All right? You want to talk about love? Let's talk about love. And I want you to see how love, true love, is always tied to that word called life. What is the ultimate expression of love? Now, I know what you're being told today. You're being told this. Ultimate expression of love is this. Unconditional acceptance. You know what this is, right? Unconditional acceptance. No matter what I am, no matter what I desire to be, no matter how I identify myself, no matter how I act, you accept me unconditionally. That's love. That's ultimate love. Okay, that's what you're being told. But is that? Well, let's ask the mother who's working out in the yard and her toddler toddles out into the street and is playing and having a grand old time in the street. And as she turns around and looks, she sees her toddler playing in the street and a fast approaching car. Here's her moment. Here's ultimate love. What is ultimate love? That's right, unconditional acceptance. Oh, look at that little guy. Oh, he identifies as a person who enjoys playing in the street. Far be it from me to crash his little party. He needs to express himself. He needs to be who he is. He needs to understand that I will accept him no matter what he wants to do, even if it might destroy his life, because I love him. I mean, that's ultimate love, right? Unconditional acceptance. You say, no, Andy, that's stupid. Of course it is. Because unconditional acceptance is not love. It's indifference. It's, I don't care about you. What's the mother going to do? She is going to run. She's going to grab her child. And if necessary, she might even toss the child to safety and sacrifice her own life. That's ultimate love. Sacrificing your life. You know who said that? Abraham Lincoln. Gettysburg Address, 4 months after the Battle of Gettysburg. He gives that 2 minute or so address, and what does he say? He says, these honored dead gave their last full measure of devotion. You know what Abraham Lincoln was saying? These men showed ultimate love. They gave up their life. I'm glad Abraham Lincoln said that, but you know who said it long before he did? Jesus Christ. John 15 and verse 13, greater love. Watch this. Greater love, ultimate love, has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How about the greatest verse in the Bible, John 3:16? Have you heard of this one? God so, here's our word, loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Life is always tied to love. What is ultimate love? Giving up my life so you can live. Jesus says, I am the life of God. What he is getting at is this: I am giving up my life so you might have my life. The only way you're getting into heaven is if you have my life, that I take your death. Yes, God is loving and he gave up his life so you might have his life. He died so you might escape death. You see, yes, God is love, but he is also just. You can't slice God and just take parts of God you like and say, I don't like the other parts of God. No, you have to take him all. God is not only loving, he is also just. He's the perfect justice. Now, I know there's a lot. I know there's a big movement today where people cry out, we demand justice. We want justice. You know what? Justice is necessary because this world is lousy with injustice. But we have these people who are, maybe even in your own heart, you're saying, I demand justice. Now hold it, time out. Do you really want justice? Because if you want perfect justice, that means God's got to come after you for your sin against him. You see, the gospel begins with God. God has created you. God has given you physical life, but you in your heart have turned away from God. You have not wanted to follow God. You have not thought about God. You have not obeyed God. You have dismissed God. And therefore, God says, I am the perfect justice. Therefore, justice will fall on you. You say, wait a second, man. I want other people to get justice. I don't want justice on me. Oh, you hypocrite. You don't want justice, you want selective justice. But God is just, and there will be a punishment on your sin and on my sin against God. You say, what's that punishment? Well, I don't have to guess. You don't have to guess either. It's in the Word of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Now, how many of you have a job that you get paid for? All right, good. How many of you want a job that you can get paid for? There you go. Very good. So when you work and you work hard, it comes to be payday and you're wanting your wage, right? That's what the wage is. The idea is you go to mom or whoever it is you're working for and you say, I have worked hard. I've earned what's coming to me. Give me my money, money, money. Give me my wage. I've earned it. All right, good for you. When it comes to your sin and rebellion against God, you too have earned something. And by the way, you have worked hard for it. You and your rebellion, you and your disobedience against God, you have worked hard for it. And there is a payday coming, and it's not money, money, money. It is death. Separation from God in hellfire. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry, I guess God didn't consult you, did he? He demands death for your sin and mine. So God is a God of perfect justice. You know what that means? Let me be as blunt as I possibly can be. You have sinned. You have to die. That's the price that God demands for your sin. Oh, but God is loving. And in God's brilliant mind, he came up with another way for your sin to be paid for. But you don't have to die. And you know what that other way was? Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died upon a cross. He absorbed the wrath of God that was meant for you. He offered, he died, and he rose again the third day, thus defeating death. And he offers you eternal life. He offers you his life. He's taken your death upon him, and he offers you this life on your behalf. Again, let me put it to you this way. You have sinned. Somebody must die. There are only two people who can die for your sin. You in hell for all eternity, or Jesus in your place on the cross. But young lady, young man, someone is going to die. You have sinned.
Who do you choose? Yourself or Jesus? Oh, please choose Jesus while you still have a chance. But someone's going to die. You've broken the law of God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no remission of sin. Someone must die. But Jesus said, I have died for you. Why die? I have come to do this for you. And then he goes on to say in John 14 and verse 19, because I live, you will live forever also. Oh, let him be abundantly clear. Nobody gets to God except by Jesus. You say, yeah, well, I don't believe that. I saw something on the History Channel. I read a book and modern scholarship, and that debunked that. Jesus didn't even say those words. Someone added it in later. Okay, see, I can't convince you, but all I can say is this: let God be true and every man a liar. This is what God has said. This is what Jesus has said. Whether or not you believe it, it is the truth. Now, Jesus' statement is clear. Point number two, okay? You see where we are now? We're coming to the end. Jesus' statement is also comforting. How does John 14 begin? Let not your heart be troubled. Calm your heart down, gentlemen. That's what he's saying to his disciples. You believe in God, believe in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The idea is for all eternity. I am the way to God. I am the truth of God. I am the life of God. What he is saying when Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and I'm scared we're not going to know how to get there. John 14, 6 is Jesus' words of comfort. He's saying, Thomas, remember, focus, Thomas, calm down. You're okay. You found the true and living way. You have me. You have received me. You're good. Rejoice. Relax. Rest. You sit here today and say, I could never go to heaven. Look at all I've done. Exactly. You can't get to heaven by anything you do. That's why Jesus came and did it all for you. He lived a perfect life, which you can't do. He died the death that is meant for you in your place. He has done all that is necessary, and you just need to reach out tonight and to receive it, to come to him empty-handed and say, Lord Jesus, save me. Do for me what I could never do for myself. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, woo! Rejoice. Relax. Rest your anxious heart. You found the true and living way. You couldn't save yourself. Only Jesus could. You have found him. You have received him. You're good with God. Are you good with God? The Bible says in 1 John 5, 11 and 12, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? I wish you could have met Doug. Doug was 57 when he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. One of my dear friends, I miss him every day. He lived 8 months after his diagnosis. Left behind wife, daughter, 3 sons, and a whole bunch of grandkids that miss their papa. And I miss Doug. He died in 2016, 2 weeks after Easter Sunday. Before he died, he said to one of his sons, and his son is actually one of my closest friends. He said to his son, Daniel, I'm in so much pain, but I'm ready to die because I know where I'm going. Are you ready to die? Hey, I'm sorry, you're closer to the day of your death today than you were yesterday. It's kind of a fact of life. Death is coming. I hope it's a long time from now, but are you ready to die? If you have Jesus, you're ready. You can't lose him because you can't lose eternal life. How can you lose what is eternal? That makes no sense. You have Jesus, You're fine. There are some young people in here. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you tear yourself up over and over about, did I mean it enough when I asked Jesus to save me? Did I repent enough? Did I believe hard enough? Did I say the right words? Stop it! You can't do anything to save yourself. Jesus has done it for you. If you have received Him, you're good. Rejoice. Stop worrying. These words are not meant to be controversial. They're meant to be comforting. But finally, now, number three, Jesus' controversial statement is actually meant to be compelling. It is a compelling statement. If it is true that Jesus is the only way to God, it is imperative that you find Him and you trust Him. You have to do something. You must do something with Jesus. A good friend of mine, pastor in South Carolina, has said this. I've heard him say it so many times. What are you going to do with Jesus? You will either receive Him or you will reject Him, but you cannot be neutral. My friend, you have never received Jesus Christ. He's not your Lord and Savior. You have resisted the Holy Spirit. You have resisted salvation. Tonight a choice is laid before you. Will you receive Him or reject Him? You say, I'm not going to make my decision. You just did. You're rejecting Him. No, yes, you are. You will either receive Him or reject Him. You can't be neutral. We live in a social media age. You can't like Jesus. You either crown Him as Lord or you crucify Him. What are you going to do with Jesus tonight? You say, well, I'll just put it off. Okay, are you so arrogant to believe that God's going to give you another opportunity to be saved? Now, God is gracious and He may give you another opportunity to be saved. He is quite a merciful God. He has been exceedingly merciful to you. But you are not guaranteed another day. The only authority I've been given to tell you is this. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as others have who have provoked God. Let these words of Jesus sear upon your conscience. No one comes to the Father but by me. You will either go to heaven through Jesus or you will go to hell through your rejection. You say, well, how do I receive Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus said in Mark 1:15, He tells us to repent and to believe the gospel. To repent is to turn away from your sin. It is to say, I'm done with my old life. I'm done with my old sin. I'm done with my old master. I'm sick of it. I don't want my sin. I don't want where sin is taking me, to hellfire. I'm turning away from that. That is to repent. And then to believe this gospel is to cling to Jesus. Is to place your entire eternity, your entire destiny, your entire soul on someone you've never seen with physical eyes. But it is with the eyes of faith to say, I believe, Jesus, You died on a cross for me to take away my sin and make me right with God. Oh, Jesus, if You don't save me, I have no hope. I have no other help but You. Oh, Jesus, be merciful to me. And you will never be denied when you come to Jesus like that. If you haven't, I want you to know, I too was once where you are now. But praise God, I came to Him and said, Jesus, I have nothing to bring but my sin. Save me. And I have been gloriously made into a new person, and so can you. You must do something with Jesus tonight. I'm going to close again with what I said earlier. You have sinned. There must be a death. And there are only two people who can die for your sin. You in hell for all eternity, or Jesus in your place. But someone is going to die. Who do you choose to die for you? Yourself or you? Please choose Jesus. While there is still chance, while there is still hope. Tonight. We're going to close as we did last night. Nothing spooky, nothing strange. Let me pray. Father.